The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, Voices of Wrestling listener. Dave Ryan here. Have you ever wondered to yourself, how many hidden gems are hidden away inside the last years of World Championship Wrestling? Have you ever asked yourself how many tenuous gags can be made about the name Mike Enos? And have you ever thought about what it sounds like for two Irishmen to interpret a very chaotic company through its B-show? The answers to all this and more are just a click away. Check out Days of Thunder every second Thursday on the Voices of Wrestling podcast network.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling podcasting network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
To the highway, in a brand new day, over the rainbow, gotta let it go. So far, the rain is a gun. Fire,
welcome back to Open the Voice Gate for August 15th, 2023. We are members of the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network. You can find us on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network feed or our own dedicated Open the Voice Gate feed on all podcast platforms and applications. You can follow us on Twitter at Open Voice Gate. If you'd like to donate to the show, click the link in the show notes. It'll take you to our redcircle.com landing site. You click the red box that says Sponsors Podcast, and you can set up a one-time or reoccurring donation. No obligation whatsoever, but we would like to thank all of our previous donors. I am one of your hosts. It's your old pal, Mike Spears, joined alongside, as always, your other host, KS Lowe. And KS, this one crept up on us. Dangerous Gate 2023 is happening this Sunday. The thing with King of Gates, you get all hopped up on tournament fever, and it's all over, and you go, wait, we have the biggest show of Dragon Gates here in Tokyo in 2 weeks, and now it's the Sunday.
Yeah, no, there's no come down here. There's no downer from King of Gate. We're still on the uppers. We're in the important part of the year. You know, it's Dangerous Gate this month, and then the big shows don't stop from there. Obviously, Doi's Homecoming at the end of this month. Some exciting stuff in September. I'm trying to remember if Gate of Origin is then or in October. I think it's in October. Yes, October there, and then obviously Gate of Destiny and Final Gate to round out the year. So we're in the busy season. You know, Dragon Gate, I think, did a very good job of making the unimportant first few months of the year important this year with Rey de Parejas and the number one contenders match in the April Corkin show, which now is a rematch for the Dangerous Gate main event. But we are here, and you're right, it snuck up on me as well.
Yeah, so this episode, Open the Voice Gate, this is going to be our Dangerous Gate preview. There were shows this last weekend, actually. Two shows in Kunamoto celebrating Genki Horiguchi's 25th anniversary in his hometown, along with the doubleheader in Hakata. We're going to weave in the stuff that happened this weekend as we preview this card. It's something where this card came out almost like right as we were recording last week, and it's something where things on these shows really did not, at least in my opinion, for Kunimoto and Hakata, it was all in service of Dangerous Gate. And if it wasn't in service of Dangerous Gate, at least for this week, it's not really worth talking.
Well, let me ask you this as a sort of overarching way to talk about this past weekend. Did you go notebook on any of the matches from any of the shows you watched?
No, I didn't. I did have a Dragon System match that I was notebook, but it did not happen in a Dragon Gate ring.
Oh boy, we will talk about that at the end of the episode. At the same time, exhilarating and depressing match that Mike and I watched and adored this past week. I had one from this weekend. So let me throw that out there. If you're looking for something to watch from the Fukuoka shows, I would go to the afternoon show, the daytime show, if you will, main event of that show, Gold Class, Ben K, BB Hulk, and Kota Minora versus D Courage's Madoka Kakuta, Yuki Yoshioka, and the unaffiliated Yamato. I went 4 stars on that match. Made me very, very excited for this upcoming Dangerous Gate main event. That was pretty far and away my match of the weekend.
Yeah, I was 3 3/4 on it, and this was the one match from this weekend I actually really wanted to talk about in service of the main event, because it is such a interesting thing, and I think we could kind of also talk about the Dreamgate title match that will be happening at Dangerous Gate. Madoka Kakuta defending against King of Gate 2023, Kota Minora. We got that face off on the afternoon show here. And the remarkable thing about this match was not just the fact that Kota Minora won. He pinned Yamato clean as a sheet, as emphatically as possible. Like in the way that just like, oh, the clearest way of discarding the past generation that I think like we've seen in the ring in a long time.
Yeah, this is exactly what they should have done. And I think it's part of the reason that I'm so into this Minora versus Kakuta match. And we haven't discussed what we think the finish of the match should be. We could talk about that in just a second. But the fact that you had Yoshioka right there, and Yoshioka, if you've paid attention to the way that D Courage has been presented this year, you know, Kakuta's been the standout. Daya has very much been a background player, but Yoshioka has been in a lot of very important matches alongside Kakuta, and as a result, has taken a lot of pinfalls. So they very easily just could have had Minora pin Yoshioka again, something that he's already done this year, and moved on with life, and we would have been A-okay. But they haven't pinned Yamato here. It doesn't have the impact that it would in, say, a Tokyo, a Cork and Hall, obviously, or even a Kobe, where I think you would have had a few more oohs and ahs, but it seemed to register with the crowd, because we're still at a point with Yamato where even if he has resigned himself from, say, main event level competition this year, and even if he is not in a unit, which is an odd place for a Dragon Gate wrestler to be in, he's still Yamato, and he's still presented as a threat. He's still presented as a guy that not only doesn't lose a lot, but still wins to an extreme degree. And for Minora to pin him the way they did was quite exciting.
Yeah, and it is something that the one other thing from the shows is Minora's overness with the crowd. Something that, although there were calls in the Masquerade and even Dragon Gate Generation days, not to the extent that I feel like we've seen over the last few weeks, especially in the tail end of King of Gate leading into this weekend. It does feel like this is a moment that you're absolutely right. Like, this is happening in Hakata. When we think about the regular loop right now, Hakata matters, but it's not even Kyoto in the greater scheme of things. And that happening here with the crowd taking their kind of like gasping after the fall really puts Minora on this path to this match against Madoka Kakuta. In April, they face off. It was Kakuta winning on his way to win the Dreamgate from Shun at Dead or Alive in May. But it's something interesting with Kakuta, and I guess this is the question I'm having about this match. Is this at a point right now with Minora where the damage that has been done with him has been completely rehabilitated? Arguably, he's gone further of this. Is this now the moment, coming off the heels of that clean win against Yamato and a King of Gate where it felt like at least that one night in Tokyo, everything that was presented to the audience about Kota Minora for the last 5 years has finally been fully received?
So I have a two-part answer here in terms of the way that I think the main event will look like and finish. Drangate, I think, is approaching this show, at least in my mind, and this is where I'm very curious, the people in the Voices of Wrestling Discord on the Open the Voice Gate channel, sort of where you're at temperature check-wise with Minoru. I just, you know, who, from a fan perspective, who you would like to win this match is very intriguing to me, because I could see within our bubble it being sort of a 50-50 situation. For me, Minoru is entering this match with a clean slate. Something happened, something was triggered at Kobe World this past year. I don't want to say it's the haircut, because it's not that, but it does perfectly coincide with him cutting his hair short, where all of the stress, all of the damage, all of the baggage that he had brought with him for the last year, suddenly it was gone. And I was like, man, I really like this wrestler. And it was a good reminder for me just how much I like this guy. So he's coming in with a clean slate. The thing that I think is interesting, and I'll kick it to you and then make my point, is let's you know, let's go big here. There's a lot of stats and numbers and scenarios that we can get into, but in terms of who you think is going to win, where do you land right now?
I am trying to decide. This is the hardest Dreamgate match I'm going back for. Like, for me at least, Case, I am so up in the air on this that I am going back to maybe Kobe World Week in 2021, where everything kind of felt like, oh, Shun could get through this weekend if he defeats KZ. Could this be KZ time, or is Yamato bringing back the old order and is going to lead the ship out of troubled waters? Like, this is that we're going back to that time for me to have such a difficulty thinking about who is going to be the captain of the ship coming out of this weekend. And for as peerless I feel like Kakuta has been outside the slightly underwhelming Dreamgate match at Kobe World, there feels like that there is a certain level of momentum around Kota Minoura that in past attempts there was not even coming close to with him. And I wonder, with his travails, even with the fact he's 24, he's been in the main event scene practically now for, this actually would be the 2-year anniversary of him being in the main event scene, because it would be the 2-year anniversary of his first ever Dreamgate match against Yamato at Dangerous Gate 2021. So we're entering 2 years of him in this scene, and he's never had the momentum. He's never had the crowd. And I don't think he's had the confidence like he's had over the last few weeks, that I wonder that are you going to get as good of a scenario for Kota Minoura, someone that you have been preparing for this long, come across again? Like, did you think, Case, that there can be a better situation to crown Kota Minoura? Because I don't know if there is one, and that's making me go 51-49 as of 7:23 as we're recording. We'll see where I am in 5 minutes. 51-49 Minoura, because I don't think that they could create the scenario again or make a better scenario for him.
I do think they can create a better scenario, and that's where I want to take this. Now, you brought up a few really interesting things there, so let me move back to move forward. In terms of, you brought up something that I hadn't really thought about, which is, this is probably the most even contested Dreamgate match we've had either since the Yamato Shun KZ stuff in 2021, or if you want to maybe go Yamato versus Kai from Final Gate, because, you know, we thought Yamato was winning that, but we were wrong. So I would certainly mention that, but you go through Kai's run, and, you know, Yoshida obviously wasn't beating him. Shimizu, you know, was not a favorite by any means, and he lost. Same with Susumu, same with Kondo, and then we sort of assumed that Yoshioka would beat him there and then beat Minoura. You look at all of Yoshioka's run, and through the Shun match, which I said, hey, Shun's going to win this one, it was all pretty clear that Yoshioka was going to win those matches. Shun was obviously beating Strong Machine J, and then Kakuta was beating Shun. So we're really up in the air here in terms of a Dreamgate scenario that we haven't seen in quite a while, and that is pretty exciting. In terms of, again, going back to move forward, Minoura's prior Dreamgate defenses, you have the two. You have the aforementioned, his first one 2 years ago, Dangerous Gate 2021 against Yamato, where he felt really hot. He was coming off of losing the finals in King of Gate and then beating Eita at World that year. The Eita match wasn't great, which was no fault of Minoru's. That was just sort of, you know, it was one of those nights where it seemed like Eita didn't want to work, even though it was Kobe World, which I thought was bizarre. So, you know, he was a little cooled off just from not having that great match with Eita, but he didn't have the confidence and he didn't have the charisma. And our, you know, takes coming out of that show, had they crowned him versus Yamada, would have been like, wow, this is really aggressive. This is really early. We really hope, even for as talented as he is, that he can hang in a spot like this. So they obviously held off on him then. 2022, the story's been told a million times. Timing wasn't right. Thank God they didn't go with him there. In terms of this year, to address your question, can they come up with a better scenario for Coach Minoru to win the Dreamgate belt? I think there is something better out there. And this is my hang up with this match. This is, you know, if we want to talk about attendance and clearing a certain number, this is my hang up, is that we just went through Kakuta versus Yoshioka, this awkward babyface versus babyface battle of respect. And I don't need Kota Minoru to be throwing salt in the eyes of Madoka Kakuta. I don't need him to be evil. I don't need him to be gold class 1.0. I think what they've done in the build of this match has been effective, but we are still wrestling this Dreamgate match in sort of shades of gray. And I think it's awkward to change the title in moments like that. I would hope that when Minoru eventually wins the Dreamgate title, that he is either full-fledged babyface gunning after a heel, or he is a full-fledged heel looking to take down a babyface. And quite frankly, when they get in the ring, Dangerous Gate, this Sunday, I don't know who's going to be working heel and who's going to be working face. I would assume Kakuta is going to be the face and Minoru is going to be the heel, but I don't know that to be true. And that is my reservation and why I think there is a better scenario for him out there in the future somewhere.
Yeah, and I just wonder, like, that, because you're absolutely right. Like, the build has been essentially, oh, I won King of Gate. That usually means I get a Dreamgate shot. Oh, hey, Kakuta, I want my Dreamgate shot. Okay. And then the house shows. And that's where they, where, like, if you look at what happened, at least since Korakuen, and where they've had interactions with it, but it's still that little bit of shades of gray, super face versus face sort of thing. And I think the other hang up with Minoru is the fact that you look at for Kakuta, where he is right now and what they have built up around him, and you have this X factor in Shimizu that either way they go with, they're going to have to kind of tackle this question, and it's going to have to be tackled soon. It's just something that Shimizu has a win, a direct pinfall over the Dreamgate champion, and then after the evening show in Hakata, called out everyone he did not face in King of Gate out of the Reiwa 6 and said, hey guys, I face all of them, I'm still coming for you. And it's something where I think that when you have like this question looming overhead, I think that's something that you have that's more of Kakuta's story with Shimizu than it is Minoru. And that might be a reason why you don't move the belt, because you want to tell that story.
We sort of flirted with this idea last week, not last year, but last week rather, where, you know, could Shimizu feasibly challenge for the Dreamgate belt at Gate of Destiny? And you and I talked about how it'd be really awkward for this to be like a 6-month story. You know, you have to remember the Shimizu promo where he called out the Reiwa 6 goes back to the first Reiwa 6 man. That was in May. That was the May Korakuen show. And I thought, God, it would be really strange with this fast-paced Dragon Gate booking that's been, you know, throughout the company over the last few years, where they do one match and they move on, and there doesn't seem to be a lot of long-term feuds in terms of A, B, and C. You know, Dragon Gate always has this long-term storytelling where things always matter, but we don't have a lot of prolonged feuds in this promotion right now. It would be a little weird if they drug out this Shimizu story for 6 months, but Gate of Destiny is in Osaka. Shimizu is from Osaka. Are we missing the obvious here? Are they doing Kakuta versus Shimizu in Osaka?
I think if they do have him go through, it's Yoshioka, it's Jay, and it is Ben that he did not face during the tournament. I think you can make those matches happen in a long enough time to keep him busy. I mean, they're not going to have a Dream Gate match probably at Gate of Origin. So you could have like a burn off match there if you really need to for Kakuta, just so there's the defense in there. But I think you have enough stuff now that you presented that that they presented this this ongoing trial, that I think you could now prolong it, even if it's trading off of a win from 2 months before or 3 months before, because in the overall thing, in a company that does not usually hammer like ongoing storylines after the big match, or and that they will go back and revisit it, these things happen for a reason, and it leads me to think that they are going to that when considering this Dangerous Gate main event, we also there is this Shimizu Osaka Gate of Destiny thing that I still think does it loom completely directly over it. No, but it's something that they have made a point of having this thing launch with Shimizu when there is a clear enough out that Shimizu could just be written off after King of Gate in this thing and nothing, Matt, and move on. They've chose to revisit it.
So at the risk of gross fantasy booking, let's say Kakuta retains. There's more I want to say about the Dream Gate match, but let's focus on Shimizu for a second. Let's say Kakuta retains. You do Shimizu versus Ben K at the September Korakuen show. You do Shimizu versus Strong Machine J at the end of September at the Osaka number 2 show. And then you do Shimizu versus Yoshioka at the October Korakuen show. Shimizu gets through the last D-Courage guy, and after he beats the 3 Reiwa 6 guys he hasn't wrestled, he gets his match with Kakuta. I feel like I would be really into that by the time he wrestled Yoshioka.
Yeah, and I think that by doing that, you're able to string it out long enough that even if it's that Kakuta is not there, you still have the fact that there is probably more than enough thing with momentum for Shimizu to make the challenge against Minoru if the title change does happen.
Yeah, I mean, he still feels hot. You know, it's an unexpected addition to the sort of main event scene this year that they've really gone in with Shimizu and dug their heels in on him being this guy of importance. But I've said for years he's better than the way they use him. And, you know, there's a lot of factors regarding Shimizu in terms of the way that he is used and perhaps him shooting himself in the foot at times. But this year, it certainly seems like he has his head on straight, and it seems like Dragon Gate has a straight path for him. And it makes this match really interesting, because if Minoru wins, and then we can play with that scenario for a second, you know, now Shimizu's gonna, you know, I guess hypothetically wrestle a guy that he already lost to, and that doesn't seem to have the same juice as Shimizu versus Kakuta, in my opinion.
It doesn't, but it is something that you could use the time between now and Gate of Destiny to make it work. I feel like, other than momentum, there's enough time to justify a direct challenge against Minoru if we do entertain this scenario. Thinking about Kakuta, though, he is someone coming into this match and coming into Dangerous Gate not untested. He had that match with Yoshioka at Kobe World 2023, but that was the semi-main event. We're not going to remember Kobe World for that match. We're going to remember Kobe World for Diamante Unmasking. So him coming into Tokyo here, outside of the main event match of which he won the title, finishing the story, this is kind of his big test as champion, I would say, coming into that. And for someone that is, I guess in a way, I'm laying out the case why Kakuta retained. For someone that has had all the time and effort put behind him since December of last year, and the way that they have not just protected him, but provided a lane for Madoka Kakuta to grow and thrive to becoming Open the Dream Gate champion less than 5 months after that match at Final Gate, this is a test here that they might want to see him through and see what it is with Kakuta as the lead guy in this promotion. And as we talked about Shimizu, you still have that out in front of him. And you have the fact that everything coming out of Kobe World and coming out of Kingagate really kind of leaves still an open deck for Kakuta's championship, I would say.
Yeah, I feel like Kakuta has a lot of unfinished business as champion. And as we sit here and talk about it, I don't think they're making a mistake if they put the belt on Minoru, but I actually think Kakuta as champion is still far more interesting. Luckily, in terms of the impact of him as champion and the legacy that is on the line here with him as the Open the Dream Gate champion, I think Minoru is the guy that he needs to sort of steal the show with. These guys have excellent chemistry with one another. You know, they had the match that headlined the April 5th Cork and Hall show, which, if you remember, so let's go back in time and analyze that match and the moment we were in. That match was set up. We figured it was going to be Kakuta versus Shun at Dead or Alive. And they went and they did the show in the big Nagoya building that we really wanted on the network, and it did not end up there. And to put it in perspective, we were like, maybe this is the show where SB Kento and Takuma Fujiwara come back. And that did not happen. But nevertheless, it looked like we were going in the direction of Kakuta versus Shun. And then all of a sudden, Minoru came out and insisted on having this number one contendership Dreamgate match. And you and I panicked and were like, God damn it, they're doing it again. Like, the Kakuta versus Minoru match that was booked for that April Corkin show was watched between, you know, I had hands over my eyes. It was, you know, not a pleasant viewing experience, even if the match ended up being 4.5 stars, just because I thought, oh my God, are they going to screw this story up for the sake of Minoru yet again? And they didn't end up doing that, but they did go out there and have a great match. And I want to read an excerpt from my review really quick as it sort of ties into what we could see this upcoming weekend, where I said, and I quote, "I was astounded at how physical this was. Kakuta, who has wrestled both Shingo Takagi and Masato Tanaka in the last few months, has been known to throw a haymaker, but Pretty Boy Minoru gladly returned fire in an equally violent way," end quote. And Mike, I don't know about you, but every time Minoru and Kakuta get in the ring with one another, I am just blown away at how hard they're hitting each other. This is a true test of Dragon Gate heavyweights that we really don't often see. And especially, you know, in a post-Shingo, post-Tozawa, Mochizuki no longer a focus in the main event scene, Yamato no longer a focus in the main event scene. We haven't seen a lot of this, but this has a chance to be a really violent and brutal Dreamgate match in a way that I think is going to be really welcomed by a lot of different people.
Yeah, and that was one of the things that I was trying to get across when I was trying to defend the matches Madoka Kakuta had in the Kingagate tournament, where he was having these heavyweight style matches with Shuji Kondo, with Takashi Yoshida, and hey, I might be the one person who's still out on a ledge giving 4 stars to Kashi Yoshida for that match.
But you are.
Yeah, I'll wear that because there's an argument that can be made that those matches were preparing for the style that you're proposing. Because whenever you see these two come across, it is not like that you are able to take a step back. This is not really... These two guys don't really have the propensity to do rest holds, I've noticed, other than like going for like the engrenaje. I feel like it's a thing that this is going to be, as much as I hate it, like meaty men smacking meat. I butchered that, but that shows my disdain. I shown my disdain by butchering it, but
yeah, there's a certain type of guy that leans on that as like a. As a crush.
A personality.
Yeah, I'm good on that. But you're right. I mean, look, I would be absolutely stunned if this wasn't a capital G bold and underlined great match. I really have high expectations for this, partially because of the momentum that Minoru's coming in with. But I think these guys get one another.
Yeah, and it's something where Minoru is such a fascinating guy to watch that, especially... So, like, let's just take the last 2 years. So as a main event player, he has been like figuring it out on the job for like what works for him as a main event wrestler. And it's been this Kingagate tournament where he's really kind of put it together that now it's not a surprise that the best stuff that's been happening on the house show loops has been around these two guys coming across each other, because it does feel like that Minoru is onto something and Kakuta is very secure as a heavyweight wrestler in the style of heavyweight wrestling that you see in Dragon Gate, which is hitting each other as hard as possible.
You know, that's a great point. I'm glad you said that. We've had Dragon Gate house shows on YouTube for about 18 months now, because it started right at the beginning of 2022, which means it started roughly at the same point that Gold Class began. And the highlight of the house show uploads has always been Rookies, Shun Skywalker, and, you know, whether it's Vibes versus D Courage or M3K versus D Courage, that's been what's moved my needle. Gold Class has never been the highlight of these shows until now. It's a new thing that we're seeing where Ben and Minoru and Minorito, or Ben and Hulk and Minoru, are crushing these house shows on six-man tags. That was not happening 3 months ago. That was not happening 6 months ago. That certainly wasn't happening a year ago. Gold Class as a unit is actually taking great strides forward, and it's because Minoru finally figured out his shit. You know, this was a unit that was held down by their leader for so long. I mean, we talked at this time last year just about, you know, where would Gold Class be without Ben K? Ben K's become the de facto leader because Minoru's in the shadows. And finally, he stepped out in a way that's welcoming and encouraging and engaging. And as a result, we now have this going on where, yeah, Gold Class has been crushing the house shows, and they've been doing it primarily with D Courage.
Yeah, and it's something where, with all of that and everything with it, we've been talking now about this match for only about 15 minutes, and I've gone 51, 50, 49 still. Like, I still cannot really figure this one out, because just with how Minoru has figured it out and the crowd has gotten behind him, more and more, like, I go back to this thing, at least in my head, as I've been going this out, and we've been having this discussion of what is it. You brought this up earlier. I think this is might be as good as it gets for a launch pad for a Kota Minoru Dreamgate match or Dreamgate crowning. To you, what is the best way to do this? Well, what is your better way to present it?
I think there needs to be stronger differences in character. Again, we're dealing with two guys here who are part babyface, part heel, and I don't know where they're going to be once the bell rings. And I just think the best case scenario for Minoru, you know, they've nailed the momentum, they've nailed the character, but to maximize his first Dreamgate win, you know, you only get your first Dreamgate win once. I just want to see him either dedicate himself to being a heel and wrestle a top flight babyface, or dedicate himself to being a lovable babyface and have him wrestle a dastardly heel. That's the only way they can make this scenario better.
Okay. I see that. And it's something where there's probably a bigger discussion to be had about Z-Bratz and the heel unit shuffle and how that kind of plays into the fact that we've had so many face versus face Dreamgate matches lately. But I still can't decide, Case.
Let me ask you this. This is my final point of the Dreamgate match. We understand if Kakuta retained, okay, there's probably a Shimizu match coming. There's probably a Ben match coming. God, I mean, pencil and Ben for Final Gate, it feels like. You know, they at least have a direction of Kakuta called out the Reiwa 6. He now has to go through the Reiwa 6. If Minoru wins the belt, what's the immediate direction for him as Dreamgate champion? Because I can't think of an obvious V1, and that bothers me a little bit.
Yeah, because I kind of had to talk myself into circles to justify Shimizu versus him, right? Like, I will even acknowledge that was pretty paper-thin justification. It's something where you look at where he is and everything around him. Shun, probably not that shot. Does not make a. You could revisit that, but then you're basically not building up other heels for the sake of Shun is just that good of a heel that you can just plug him in for that. And I don't think you want to have Shun take another Dreamgate loss, two Dreamgate losses in less than 3 months. I don't think you want to do that with him.
No,
I don't think you could do Doi. You can't do Doi either, because Doi is, you're not going to commit to Doi, and Doi's not going to commit to you, and he's not a full a main eventer. Those are your two like obvious stories, and they're not there.
No, that'd be interesting. I mean, I would love to see Minoru versus Doi for the Dreamgate belt, but I don't think that's there. And I can fantasy book. I mean, I can say, well, Minoru should run through Mochizuki Dojo, and he should beat Shun, and he should beat Yoshioka, and he should beat Mochizuki. And, you know, if you want to throw a gimmick heel match in there, sure, be my guest. But that's not guaranteed. You know, there's no obvious direction with him right now. And I just think when it's time for Minoru, I think we'll know. I don't think it'll be this 50-50 scenario. And again, if he wins on Sunday, I don't think it's a disaster. I think it's exciting. And I think they have different avenues they can go in. I just always look at, like, you know, when Yoshioka is coming to the end of his reign, it seemed to me like Shun is a natural endpoint because they can get to Shun versus Kakuta. And with Kakuta, it was like, I think you can do Kakuta versus Yoshioka. Those were matches that I had scoped out well before they were announced. And with Minoru, I just can't figure out what they would do in Osaka. You know, I can't figure out what that Gate of Destiny main event would be. Not that that's a requirement to win the title, but it would certainly make me feel a little bit more comfortable if I knew my champion had an obvious direction after winning the belt immediately. And I just don't think that's there, whereas I still think they have a ton of story to tell with Kakuta.
And I think that's the thing that tips me ultimately, you know, because staging wise, for someone that they've tried so hard in the past, if not prepare the crowd for the eventuality, but at least tease, like, you, it's not going to be now, but eventually it is going to be Kota Minoru. So we're preparing you for the fact that Kota Minoru is going to be that guy. We should know. And it should be something that the crowning is usually pretty clear in this company. I mean, we talk a lot about Kobe Worlds, where it was so clear and obvious that no bookmaker would take the bets on Dreamgate matches. You knew that BB Hulk was winning the Dreamgate that year. You knew that Benkei was defeating Pac that year. That's not here right now. Whereas the future with Madoka Kakuta as Dreamgate champion, there are paths forward, and there are paths that are not just like, oh, we've kind of walked over this path, you can go through it, it's safe. No, it's basically paved over, has asphalt, and you're running 18 wheelers through it. And I think that's where I'm gonna have to go with. I think now it's got to be Kakuta retaining.
Can I play devil's advocate for a second?
Man, I just finally made a decision. Okay, yep. Go ahead.
Can I ruin your night again?
Go right ahead.
You know, we talked at length for the Kinggate finals about Minoru possibly being 0-3 in the finals and what that would do long term. And obviously, you know, it didn't come to fruition. He won the title. He's 0-2 in Dreamgate challenges, like we talked about. Yamato 2021, Yoshioka 2022. Are we running into a troublesome scenario if he goes 0-3 career in Dreamgate matches?
Not at this point. Not in this promotion. Not at this point. The way I look at this case is that there's kind of a meter that we have on it. And you get to a certain point on the meter, you got Takashi Yoshida, you can constantly give that guy Dreamgate keys. You know he's never going to unlock the belt. But you get to a certain point, and probably BB Hulk was that was the last time you could do that with BB Hulk when he won the Dreamgate title. Like, it was, he was at 9 keys, and where Kota Minoru is at his time in his career, he can take another loss here, I think, because he's King of Gate. If it was a scenario where he just marched down and said, title shot, please, and they gave it to him and he lost, then I would have concerns, but this is coming off the heels of something that cements him. So I think he's okay.
Yeah, I like I said earlier, you know, this is the first Dreamgate match that he's been in that it would make sense for him to win, even if I don't think it's the move. You know, again, 2021, he had momentum, but he didn't have the charisma, and it would have been too soon. And 2022, they could have forced a square peg into a round hole, and luckily they didn't. So I don't want to, you know, I don't want to look at it as like, well, this would be his first real loss, but also this would be, you know, this is the first one where you for sure mark this one down. You go, this was a definitive Dreamgate loss. Where does he go from here?
And it is something where he's at, and Really? I mean, when you think about it, this could be the good thing that loses, completely loses it, and maybe where we say where he goes from here, he becomes the new heel leader. He joins up with Shun. Like, there's a lot of things that I think that will be that transformative moment that comes out of the first real shot. And I think that's a lot better than, okay, you give him the belt. Now what? We gave him the belt. What do we do with him now?
Not to gloss over this, but if he loses, he doesn't need an immediate thing to do. We have to remember, he's still Triangle Gate champion. That's it. And it is with Doi, which is an odd dynamic. There's your thing to do. He's going to be okay if he loses.
Exactly. So I think with that, we've both kind of, you more certainly at the front came to, you think Okuda's retaining here.
I think Okuda's retaining. I'd probably say about 70-30 at this point. What are you, 51-49, Okuda?
I think I am a good, firm, you could build a house on it, 55-45.
Okay. I would like our listeners to check in, open the Voice Gate channel on the Voices of Wrestling Discord, who you want to win and who you think is going to win. I'm very, very curious about this one.
Yeah, no. When the show gets posted, go in the Discord, peach emoji for Okuda on the post, rose for Minoru. Let's figure this out here.
You know what, Mike? Good for you. That was a good idea.
Hey, it's something here. I deal with cold hard facts, Case. If you know one thing about Mike's nerves.
Look, I enter the no spin zone every single week. I know what I'm dealing with.
All right there, Patriots. Buckle up. I'm about to come at you with some truth. And that is, we're going to be comparing peach emojis to rose emojis, and we're figuring it out here. No, this is not a Red Scare moment, Joe.
It's a serious operation. We have sponsors at play here. Peach emoji, rose emoji. Put it down.
Put it down.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The semi-main event of Dangerous Gate is for the Open the Twin Gate Championship. It is a three-way championship match. This came out of last weekend's shows where M3K decided that they really wanted to have a three-way and they were going to ruin a number one contendership match and Nagoya. It is Susumu Mochizuki, Azushi Kanda, the team you should be considering when we talk about Tag Team of the Year, defending their Twin Gate belts against Jason Lee and Jackie Funky Kamei of Natural Vibes, as well as Z Bratz, Kai, and Hio. We're finally getting a three-way team match on a pay-per-view this year, Case.
So let's talk about what you just mentioned there, the idea of Tag Team of the Year, because I asked around earlier today about who people's front runners for Tag Teams of the Year are, in case I was missing anything obvious. But, you know, for the first time in a very long time, just because of injuries, it doesn't seem like the Bucks are going to be eligible for this award. This is a year where the Lucha Brothers aren't in consideration. There's no, you know, Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish tag team. There's so much great wrestling in Mexico right now, but I don't think any like standout tag team that's in Mexico. So I asked around, and I Aussie Open and Goto and Yoshihashi and FTR, and those seem to be the front runners. If this is a high end match, I mean, if this is a 4.5-star match, which it very easily could be, because you have Susumu and you have Kai and you have Kamei in this, we really have to treat Susumu and Kanda as frontline tag team of the year contenders, which is a bizarre position to be in.
Join me.
Join me. I've been saying this for months.
And, you know, quite frankly, if they want to fire back up the Mochizuki Square tag team, you know, father and son, I still, they're kind of waiting in the wings. It's just a matter of opportunity at this point. But
Case, you know what?
Yes.
That's a great way to promote Masaki Mochizuki's impending autobiography.
Yeah, I agree. In fact, he should just wrestle everywhere. That would be the best way to promote his autobiography.
There we go.
But, you know, I'm so surprised when people talk about FTR as this runaway tag team of the year, because I really struggle to think outside of the Bullet Club matches, which were great. I really enjoyed them. I don't know what they've done this year. Like, I didn't have a single notebook FTR match prior to the month of June this year. And you look at Aussie Open, and I think they've been very good. You know, they miss a little bit of time due to injury. I think they've been very good. I enjoy the act. I've always enjoyed the act. I'm glad they're having the success they're having. You know, I would personally, and this is no shot at them because, again, I think they've been good this year, but I think there's a handful of Dragon Gate tag teams, whether it's been Yoshioka and Kakuta, the Mochizuki, Susumu and Kanda, that are better than Goto versus Yoshihashi. I mean, to me, listing them in your top three says you're not watching enough wrestling and you're specifically not watching enough Dragon Gate. But if Susumu and Kanda deliver in this match, we're now talking about three, not only high-end tag team matches, we're talking about three possible match of the year contenders with the Kano and Kondo match, which I can't get over how good that was. And then the Kakuta and Yoshioka match, which you liked more than I did. You know, that is what your top three Dragon Gate match for you this year.
Oh no, that is my Dragon Gate match of the year.
Yeah.
Still.
Yeah. So on top of a few auxiliary defenses that haven't hit the notebook, but have still been very good. I mean, if this delivers the way that it should, again, you know, this is a very good lineup for just to have this style of match. We have to have a really serious conversation that they might not only be in the conversation, they might be the best tag team this year.
Yeah, and it's something where I think if you take the breadth of the work as a tag team, it is a scenario where we're talking really about two matches for FTR this year. Let's be honest.
And if I'm missing an FTR match, let me know. But I look through cage match. I don't know. Again, other than the Bullet Club match, I don't know what I'm missing. You know, that's been where they've been great this year. But I'm not seeing in my notes anywhere. And this is an AEW problem. They've just completely abandoned the work rate tag team division. But what am I missing here?
No, that's exactly my point, because after that, you're looking at the Gun Club. And I love the Gun Club. I think that they are probably one of the best heel acts in wrestling over the last year and a half. But I'm not putting that match up there with even like the Rey de Parejas match, not the Twin Gate match. I wouldn't put him up there with that. I wouldn't put it up there with like the second tier stuff that Susumu and Kanda have done this year, frankly. And
no, the Susumu Kanda Buyuden defense was excellent. That was a great match.
Yeah, that was another notebook match. So
yeah, that was Masato Tanaka and Takuya Sugawara, which I went 3 3/4 on, and you, I think, went 4.
And a quarter. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. It's just, you know, again, you know, Aussie Open's had a very good year, but it's not a complete year. No, and I want to be clear, that's no disrespect to them. I think they're great. If this match delivers, I just think Susumu and Kanda have had a better year. And the FTR thing, again, is just really puzzling to me. They've wrestled 12 matches this year, and two of them have been really good. Like, if you want to factor in, especially if you want to get, you know, into the nitty gritty here and talk about the trios matches that Kanda and Susumu have had as a part of M3K, well, then it's not even close. And that's up to you as to whether or not you want to count those as a tag team argument or not, because you could throw in the FTR multi-mans, but I think what M3K has done has smoked the CMFTR branding, which that annoys the shit out of me, that they just landed on that like it means something. It's like, what is this? Like, this is just letters at this point. This is dumb.
Yeah. And here's the single disqualifying thing about Aussie Open, because unlike you, I'm not going to couch things with like respect. I cannot take a tag team seriously that is on the shelf like every year for a significant portion of time. So it is something that you look at the playbook, you look at the scoreboard, and I don't think that they've done nearly enough to overcome even FTR in that regard, because FTR, you could say that they've had 12 tag team matches, but two of them have been of the best matches of the year. Where's that for Aussie Open, that to make up for the lost time there when you have tag teams? Like, I don't believe Bishamon is at the caliber of these other three tag teams. But one thing that we can say is that they do have a full catalog of work in 2023, where I don't think you could say that about Aussie Open at this time.
No, it's, you know, it'll be very interesting to see what unfolds here. But again, if this is a high-end match, and I expect it to be, you know, again, the sort of the magical trio here of Susumu, Kai, and Kamei, those are guys that bring it, that deliver on big shows like this. I expect this to be very good. I also expect Susumu and Kanda to retain. I don't see any reason to take the belts off of them.
Yeah, I think that while you are dealing with this, like, miracle run, and with how Dragon Gate treats the Twin Gates, that you either have a very long run or you have a very short run that you think is going to be long and you're going to be disappointed. This is one of the ones where I look at this and I look at the state of how Dragon Gate prepares Twin Gate challengers. And it's not like this isn't like the tale of days of CK1 where they were bringing back over Ricochet and Matt Sydal because they needed to have new matchups there. There's a lot there for Susumu and Kanda, whereas I'm not positive that Kai and Hio are in the same unit in a month.
Yeah, look, ultimately, we haven't done Susumu and Kanda versus the Mochizukis, and I'm not saying that's happening with their next defense, but that has to be happening soon. You know what I mean? Like, we got to get there at some point. So let's keep the belts on them for a little bit.
Right. The person not to count out in this match, though, the one person who I really think, given their summer and how things are and how things can be in the future for them, the person I'm keeping an eye on is, and it might just be my own favoritism, Hio, I think, will be the bellwether on if this is going to be that match that finally convinced me to write the article, we really need to be talking about Susumu and Kanda. You know, like, because I look at the other five guys in this match, we've not really even talked about the fact that Jason Lee's in this match, Gaze. Like, that's
a great point. It's Jason and Jackie. There's no slouches right there.
Right, yeah, the most recent five-star match I've given involves those two guys. But
yeah, that's right.
Hold on, hot take there.
Did you not give 5 stars to Naito Ospreay
from the semifinals?
Yeah,
4-3, 4-3-5. Yeah.
Oh man,
it was close to it. It was close to it, but I am like the Supreme Court in obscenity and pornography. I'll know it when I see it.
I respect the reference. I use it all the time in my real life. I gotta say, Naito versus Ospreay is the best match I've seen since Kamei and Jason versus Shunin Diamante. It's the best match I've seen in a long time. That one got me. I mean, I've been Tetsuya Naito's harshest critic. After that match, he's an Observer Hall of Famer. Put the fucking belt on him at the Tokyo Dome. Let him do a speech. That was the Naito match I've been waiting for since the Omega match in 2016. That was fucking believable. That is my match of the year, and I can't imagine anything's going to beat it, which is another, just a brief diatribe here. I'm going to end up doing the same end of the year content this year that I did last year. Shun Skywalker is the best wrestler in the world, not named Will Ospreay. And it's still true because, unfortunately, I've given Ospreay 3 5-star matches this year. And in my head, I was like, this is like a down Ospreay year, right? Like, he's probably not been very good. No, I have 3 5-star matches. He's actually just been the best wrestler in the world by a mile. Like, it's unbelievable. He is not human.
Yeah, it is something there that, and it wasn't even because of the finish for me. It was just something that I do hold that 2016 G1 match as Naito's best match of his career. And I don't know. It is something that, at least with me, I think that I just am someone that with 5 stars, I've noticed myself more and more just, I know immediately, or at least in my mind, and I can't explain it. It's my own failing about that. But it was clearly like it's the best match since Okada Ospreay, or sorry, Omega Ospreay 2. Which, if we're talking about that, then I think we have do. Like I know we were talking about like Mystico last week, but it's things have changed over this last week. We don't need to have that conversation anymore.
Is Will a Flair Fez guy?
I think he has to be.
Yeah. My first thought after watching Naito Ospreay was we have to do another Greatest Wrestler Ever podcast with Alan to just try to wrap our heads around the historical ranking of Will Ospreay at this point, because it's like 5 years in a row now where he's just on a different level, and I don't know what to do about it. Like he's amazing. And that Naito match was just, it was so good. Like the finals with Okada and Naito, that was great, but I didn't care. Like it wasn't going to be anywhere near as good as Ospreay and Naito, so I just didn't care about it as much. That Ospreay Naito match, like I said, is the best match since last year's Kobe World Twin Gate match. And before that, you have to go pre-pandemic to find a match that I like that much. Maybe the Unit Disbands match, RED and Toriumon, that's probably the last one that I like to this degree. But still, man, there was something about this that just hit different.
No, I respect that. I totally do. And it was something that I felt like that tournament desperately needed at that time. But yeah, that was otherworldly. Did you have any other Twin Gate thoughts?
Yeah, sorry to derail everything. Look, no worries. I think the match is going to kick ass. I'm excited for it. I'm looking forward to it. And I assume that M3K will retain here.
Now, one question. What do you think, in your mind, is going to be out of the Twin Gate and the Dream Gate your match of the night? Unless somehow you think that Team WAR is going to do it for you, and we haven't gotten to that match yet.
No, I think you have to at least show some love to the Brave Gate match here and accept that maybe Mochizuki Jr. is just going to continue being one of the most exciting wrestlers on the planet. But I would still lean Dream Gate, but I also expect this to be very, very good.
And that's something that I feel like with this show that we didn't really have as much at Kobe World was up and down the card necessarily, having all that stuff with it, because we work our way back. We have the special singles match, Yamato going up against Fujita Jr. Hayato, representing Michinoku Pro Wrestling. And this is just such like a, I know Alan did this tweet saying like that he's actually the person with the pencil in Dragon Gate here. But for me, this is exactly the Yamato I have been crying for the last 3 years in this match. Like, you know, it's going to happen. You know it. It's going to be mean 2010 Yamato all over again against someone in Fujita Jr. Hayato who probably demands that of him.
Yeah, this kicks ass. I mean, I'm super, super excited for this. Let me ask you, Fujita Jr. Hayato, he's obviously worked a ton of Mochizuki Produce shows, and we could get into the history of that in just a second. He has worked one main card Dragon Gate match in his entire career. Can you think of what it was?
Okay. Interesting.
It's a fun list of names.
Was he in Battle of Tokyo?
He wasn't, but that's a good guess, because he wrestled a bunch of guys that were in Battle of Tokyo, I think.
Yeah. That was my gasp in the dark, was somehow it was like Madoka, Ken 45, and Fujita Jr. Hayato, who somehow all came in to be beat by Kagetora. Yeah, like,
so
that was my guess.
It was Champion Gate 2011, which was right after the tsunami, I believe, because it was April.
Yes.
And
yes.
And so it was Kowloon. It was Hayato and Kagetora representing Michinoku Pro against Kotoka and Super Shenlong. And that is the only main card Dragon Gate match he has ever worked.
Yep, that sounds about right. Yeah.
Yeah, no, yeah, bizarre.
Yeah, but it, this is the interesting thing with how we look at Lucha Res, you know, because he's from Michinoku Pro. That is he is a part of the family, but I just, it's so unique how Fujita Jr. Hayato kind of relates into the overall lineage, you know, because he's his own thing.
Yeah, I wish he was around more. You know, it's He's only worked the Mochizuki Produce shows. And then, like I said, that match. And if you look at his history with Yamato, you know, they wrestled in 2008, Buyuden Tag Team Tournament, Hayato and Minoru Sawa versus Shinobu and Yamato. And then they wrestled again in 2009, six-man tag. This sounds like a match you would book. Shingo to Taku Uwasa and Yamato versus Hayato, Ikuto Hidaka, and Minoru Tanaka. And then they obviously wrestled this year at the All-Star Junior Festival in the opening six-man tag. So they have some history. Every time they've locked up, I've enjoyed it. It's weird. Like, I feel like this match will be much better than Hiromu versus Yamato was. You know what I mean?
Oh, no. Easily so. And I mean, yes, I would book Kamikaze versus, I think that would technically be Bad Boy at that time.
That sounds right. You would know a little bit better than me, but that I'll take your word for it. But I mean, Hayato's just, he's murdered everything this year. I really enjoyed the work that he's done every time he's made tape. He obviously had that 4.5-star tag match a month ago. It was Hayato and Masaki Mochizuki versus Fuminori Abe and Ikuto Hidaka. Hayato was great on the Mochizuki Produce show that he worked earlier this year. I'm glad he's back in the Dragon Gate fold, not doing the Gleet MMA bullshit. I'm really excited for this.
Now, you brought it up here. Is there any world that we get to have a trash can moment with that huge, ugly belt?
Is he a champion there?
Yeah, he, in Takanori Ito's first defense of the Ledet UWF title, he completely just got walked over by Fujita Junior Hayato.
Ugh, God, you're right. I hope not. I would rather just not acknowledge.
Yep. Just, that's
what,
fair.
What are we gaining from that?
Well, let me tell you what we are gaining tonight as we look forward to Dangerscape on Sunday, the 20th. Special six-man tag team match. This was formed at the King of Gate Finals Korakuen. Masaki Mochizuki and Don Fuji laid out a challenge for members of the Reiwa Leaders, our Big Six, that they are going to be teaming with someone that they both have a rather unique history with, as Tomohiro Ishii of New Japan Pro Wrestling is re-entering the Dragon system from, just off the top of my head, the first time since 1999. As Team WAR will try to get up into some wrestle and romance against Yuki Yoshioka, Benkei, and Strong Machine J.
I want to give you a second here, Mike. I know we talked about it a few weeks ago because Holy Grails came up, but Tomohiro Ishii in the Dragon system is your thing. Do you want to briefly explain what he's done in the Dragon system up to this point?
Yeah, so the overall story about, from my understanding, and if someone who knows a little bit more about WAR wants to disabuse me of this notion, I will cede the floor to that. But after WAR kind of felled up and it was going dead, the thing is that Tomohiro Ishii was so relatively new in his career, and he was tied to Tenryu pretty heavily, and he was trying to make dates, trying to get a full schedule that a lot of people from WAR were involved with Toriumon, especially towards the landing of Toriumon. So after the gym was going and they already had the classes going, that there were people that ended up from WAR going over to Toriumon Japan. And for 1999, especially, Tomohiro Ishii was someone that, as the promotion was kind of coming together, where if you look at 1999, in case we've talked about this when we looked back at 131 1999 and the shows around it, it was not like a full deep promotion at that time. You really had the first two terms of students that were able to be in a position that Ultimo wanted to debut them. So you had to fill out the rest of your card. And that went to a lot of people from WAR. And Tomohiro Ishii was one of them. Most notably, he was in the first ever three-way six-man. In the lead-up before the one that made tape, he was kind of, as they were figuring out the matches, he was involved in that. But nothing ever made tape. However, somehow, he has, to my last count, I need to check this again, 9 or 10 singles matches against Stalker Chikawa from 1999 and 2000 that I badly, badly hope that there is a storage unit right now in Hyogo Prefecture with someone who has a whole lot of high eight fan cams of.
Yeah, I mean, God, you'd think with him coming in, if they were ever going to hit the network, now would sort of be the time to do it.
Yeah, I just think that given the time, that it's probably, like, the footage doesn't exist, sadly. Yeah. Like, it's just one of those things that when you look at how wrestling is and how things were, if it were to pop up in any sort of fashion, it would have done that by now, frankly. So it's something where Ishii worked for the promotion primarily. I had my dates a little wrong. It was more 2001. So, and when you look at 2001, the three-way elimination match, this actually happened up in Iwate. Just to give people, like, figuring out the match and how things went from it. It was Crazy Max of Big Fuji. This is when they changed their names every year. So Don Fuji, Sima and Sua, M2K, a Darkness Dragon, Masaki Mochizuki, Sumu Mochizuki, and Ginki Horiguchi, Magnum Tokyo, Tomohiro Ishii. Obviously, the person left out there is Dragon Kid, really, when you look at that. But when you look at Tomohiro Ishii, he just was someone that they used for a while. And if you look at how his career was in 2001, 2002, really, through the downfall of, like, Riki Pro and all of that, it was just where Riki Choshu was involved. And that was the big thing about him.
Yeah, so that is a brief history there into Ishii and the Dragon System. Obviously, he's coming back here. And I don't know of a way to preview this match other than that I think it's going to absolutely kick ass. I'm really looking forward to it. And that's about all I have to say on it.
Yeah, this is just a fun, sick match. I probably went far too much into Ishii there for what the kind of match is.
No, we got a Riki Pro reference. That's always worthwhile.
We got to play the hands that were dealt here. Who's the person that you're interested facing off most against Ishii? We got Yoshioka, we got Ben, and we got Jay here.
I think the obvious answer is Ben, but I think most people would go Ben. I think he's last on my list because Yoshioka is so quick that it's like, okay, well, I want to see what that looks like against Ishii. And I'm just really curious to see what Strong Machine J looks like in this environment. I mean, historically, this has to be one of the biggest matches of Jay's career. It would be the Dreamgate match from this year, the Cage match from this year. And then this is such a high profile for him. I mean, there's people that will watch this match that have never seen him before. So I'm really curious to see what Jay and Ishii look like together.
Yeah, that's the one I'm most interested in. If we look at what was happening this weekend in Kunamoto and Hakata, I really felt like Jay wrestled like a guy that knew that he was out of King of Gate and was trying to kind of remind people, hey, I am Strong Machine Jay. And it was something that it didn't necessarily always, like, translate into the matchups he had. I mean, he had a team of Ho-Ho against Ginky in his hometown. But it is something where I kind of look at it, and it was not in his hometown. That was a different match. But I look at this, and I think Jay is going to be the person to take the bull by the horns here. I just think that he is someone that is really came out of King of Gate that he missed as someone, or he didn't miss. That match essentially meant he missed King of Gate, right? Like, I think we can acknowledge that opener was not really much of a match at all that he was in. So he's coming really off of this layoff and trying to reestablish momentum after his Kobe World performance. And I think that's why you have to look towards him against Ishii.
Yeah, very much so. So I am looking forward to it, and it should be a hot little match.
Yep. The third and final title match on the show, no Triangle Gate defense because of Minoura in the main event, is the Open the Brave Gate title match. Case mentioned this a little bit earlier. Ishin versus Mochizuki Jr. And I don't think it's the exact two-year anniversary for Ishin, but this is... He did debut at the show 2 years ago. And if you look at Ishin, I think over the course of those 2 years, and I kind of like using this, I know I did this last year, using Dangerous Gate as kind of his like measuring pole here. It's a different Ishin versus Mochizuki Jr. as they were revisiting this feud. And it's real fascinating to see where Ishin will be on his second anniversary.
I'm so excited for this. I mean, I think anybody that's listened to this podcast before knows where I stand specifically on Mochizuki Jr., although I am also, you know, at this point very much into what Ishin is doing. And you're right, you know, we debuted at this event. It was September in 2021 when he debuted. And then last year at Dangerous Gate, it was a Triangle Gate match that it was, you know, Masaki Mochizuki and Mochizuki Jr. and Susumu Mochizuki at time the Triangle Gate champions against Don Fuji and Ishin Ihashi and Ishin's father, Ishin Riki. And they had that fun, sort of worthwhile Triangle Gate match that ended up leading to the November heel turn for what turned out to be All Caps Ishin. I think this has, and I say this about every Brave Gate match, and unfortunately, you know, even the good ones haven't been great. And I think we're all really itching for a Brave Gate match that is truly great. And I think this could be it. You know, these guys had a very successful feud last year. We talked about it at the time. They based it out of Tokyo, where August of last year, they do a singles match. September, they do the dad's tag. And then they do the Dangerous Gate Triangle Gate match, and then the Ishin heel turn in November. A lot of that stuff was based in Tokyo, and from people that I talked to that were going to the Korakuen shows at the time, they said this is the over thing on the Korakuen shows. There are people that we think are buying tickets specifically for the Junior Ishin stuff. They kicked ass all throughout there, and then have largely been kept apart this year. You know, they wrestled in Rey de Parejas, and they've wrestled a few times in the build of this match, but we haven't really seen this version of Ishin against this version of Mochizuki Jr., a more confident, super agile, more experienced version of Mochizuki Jr. I don't know. I mean, my excitement level for this match is like a 9.5 out of 10. Where are you at here, Mike?
I'm not 9.5, but I am like at probably an 8.5. I have enjoyed like everything leading up to it with them. It's something where I guess I wonder like the direction forward out of this, only because I think you look at Mochizuki Jr. and yes, it is something that he needs to do things on his own. And we've seen every opportunity you give this guy. And he's only been wrestling for 14 months and he's been off with injuries for about 3 of those months. So he's not had a full year of ring time. Each opportunity he has, he kind of grabs it, but I don't want to kind of see him a singles champion right now. I don't think it's time for him.
It's not time for him. It is absolutely not time for him. And that's okay. You know, you got to remember, and this is, you know, one of those things that I think can perhaps get lost with the English speaking audience, but the build to Ishin winning this belt was what's happened to all the great Brave Gate champions. You know, why are there not any great Brave Gate champions anymore? Why, when we talk about this division, are we talking about Pac and Ricochet and Genki and guys from a decade ago? What has happened to the Brave Gate belt? So from a storyline perspective, it doesn't make sense for Ishin to lose in his first defense. It would be weird and jarring there. And like I will continue to say with Junior, and I feel like I've been right about this because Dragon Gate has gone along with the things that I've thought. Everybody's in a rush with this guy, and there is no need to be in a rush with a 21-year-old, what I'm now comfortable calling a prodigy. I really don't think Junior got the credit he deserved for being good right off the bat and for continuing to elevate his game, because you got to remember, he came in, it was June of 2022. It was when the full-blown narrative change into you, Dragon Gate, was going on last year, because it was, you know, Nozawa stuff and Minoru stuff, and it was World, and it was Ultimo, and it was just all a disaster. And it was all taking away from the fact that Mochizuki Jr. is a goddamn prodigy, and he's only gotten better since. Mike, are you doing the Voices of Wrestling 30 Under 30 project?
I am not, only because I think my predilections would make me be a bad person for that, because I would immediately disqualify anyone within the WWE system who have not seen extensive stuff of them before WWE.
Okay, well, I did that, so I would not feel bad about doing that.
Okay, yeah, fair enough. Yeah.
Hey, it's cool. Look, I'm happy that Logan Paul is a good wrestler, but I'm not doing that. And there's nobody else. I mean, I fucking hate everybody else that works there. I just hate that company with such passion. I'm so glad I do a Dragon Gate podcast and not an American wrestling centric podcast where I have to at least be civil about it. I hate everything that they do. I'm not voting for anybody there. I bring that up because on my ballot, I had Mochizuki Jr. 11th, and I was being a little generous with other wrestlers, you know, that I had ranked over him, because I get a little self-conscious sometimes about being in stuff like this being too pro Dragon Gate. It gets into my head, but a 30 under 30 is what Dragon Gate is right now. This promotion is about 30 wrestlers, most of whom are under 30. I had Junior at 11th, and I feel like this match could make me regret not having him in my top 7, top 8. I think he's that good.
Yeah, this is going to be, I think, the opportunity for Mochizuki Jr. to have his first individual standout performance. And the only reason why I'm not full 10 on it is just that the fact that it's just not going to, like, it's going to be the full experience, but it's not going to be the finish. He's not getting crowned tonight, and that kind of hurts that. I'm trying to think right now, outside of, it would be easier for me to like the list, like my top 10 under 30 outside of Dragon Gate, and then I'd be able to build up everything else there, because then I just felt the rest of the thing with Dragon Gate and put them in accordingly. Like, I feel like one of those things, like, at least with the Electric case, like, MJF's going to win this.
Yeah, and, you know, he's the world champion for the number two promotion. It's fair. You know, my top three was Shun, Takeshita, and MJF, and then Kakuta at 4, and Hot Take Bandido at 5.
Bandido's under 30?
Bandido's under 30. At least, okay. God, I hope so, because I did vote for him. I think he has become underrated. He's 28, which is crazy to think about. Just turned 28 in April. The Bandido hype was so heavy for a while that I think people got burnt out on him, but I think it's gone in the other direction now. I don't think people appreciate how good Bandido is, and I feel like that's almost a statement vote right there. But
right.
Man, when he hits, he is otherworldly. And also seeing him in person, he has a live charisma that is really, really enjoyable and engaging. So I'm going to give a little bit of a bump there. But Mochizuki in 11th. I did not have Ishin on my ballot. I'm sure if this was the 30 under or the 40 under 30, I would have him somewhere in the 31 to 40 range. But he did not make it, in case anybody was curious.
Yeah, the more I think about it, I think I could actually make that list without WWE, without me feeling unclean or misrepresented.
Oh yeah, no, I mean, well,
yeah,
I mean,
I'll do one.
You're not voting for Dom. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I mean, you know that I'm aghast by that proposition.
Yeah, and I, you know, I, some people are voting for like the Europeans that are in NXT, like the I think Dragunov is still under 30, and I get it. You know, I you know, no hate, but I'm not doing that. I'm not voting for them. Like, I just hate that promotion so much that it's not happening. So, but there's, look, I mean, I had a list of about 50 wrestlers when I first started. There's a lot of talent out there under 30, and it's easy, I think, to get down on wrestling. I mean, before we started recording, we were kind of listing all the things going wrong with AEW right now. So it's easy to not be stoked about the future, but there is talent out there. It's just a matter of whether or not that talent can be managed in a way that needs to be.
No, that's entirely fair. And I think that is kind of the core thing about that. Moving down the card, we get to the undercard matches. Match 2, Ultimo Dragon, Naruki Doi, BB Hulk, and Minorita. So Gold Class and Ultimo versus Shuji Kondo, Kagetora, Problem Dragon, and Punch Tominaga. One thing from the shows this week, Case, I had my counter out there. It didn't get much use. Ultimo did not take a single bump in Hakata, and I applaud him for that.
Oh, God, yeah. No, good for him.
Yeah, did not leave his feet once. There was a moment in the match that was against that Jackie Kamei in it where I was convinced for one moment. I was like, oh, he's going to do his head scissors bulldog takeover thing, he's gonna leave the ground. Nope, did not do that. Just shoved him into it and moved along with his day.
It kind of
made the shows for me in a way, to be honest. But yeah, this 8-man tag, I don't really.
We can talk about something else.
Yeah, like we're getting Daya, Kaito Nagano, and Daiki Yanagiuchi in the opener against KZ, Big Boss, Shimizu, UT. On the shows, UT is showing a little bit more frustration. It is something that it seems to be building with that. I guess with how everything is looking at these shows, like, I don't take Shimizu opening the show as like any sort of thing. Just with card composition here, there were a lot of weird kind of people left off that weren't involved in things. And I think that's why we get such an interesting opener.
Oh yeah, I mean, there's no, I would not read into Shimizu being in the opening match at all. This is just where the chips fell on this. I mean, no, that's not a, I don't think that's an indictment on him by any means.
I mean, more interesting to me about with how these cards have been constructed over the last few months is the fact that first major show without Ada on there, and I did not, like, when I was going through the show, when the card was announced, when I was going through it, and today going through it, did not really feel the loss that I expected I would feel the first time that Ata missed a big five show.
I really didn't even notice that he was gone until you just brought it up. And that is an indictment on Ata. You know, again, this guy could have the world if he wanted it. And it's just not playing out the way that I think anybody other than him would desire.
Yeah. And that is the card for Dangerous Gate 2023. It is from Oda City Gymnasium on August 20th. Start time is 3 p.m. Japanese Standard Time. That'll be 2 a.m. for the East Coast, 11 on the West. English commentary, as always, for Dragon Gate big shows coming up. And we'll be back on Tuesday to review the show as well. Any other big Dangerous Gate thoughts before we start to wrap things up and talk about another fun match that that happened in the Dragon System this week?
No, let's real quick talk about the extended Dragon System universe and the match that is making rounds, and rightfully so.
Yeah, so I don't know when this match was taped. It's for
July 22nd.
So July 22nd, this match from Riot Lucha, I believe Riot's based out of Monterrey, if I'm right, but it is a match, SB Kento and Takuma. Now they are teaming as the Mexi Hapa Locos is kind of the team that they're going with. Match against Kratos and Prometo. And I've seen Kratos before. Prometo, this was my first time, and this is just an experience of a match, I would say. Like it is kind of in the way the junior heavyweight kind of wild freewheeling brawl that I think that I don't want to say Rush Roselli Park was, but the first 10 minutes was throwing off like those brawling vibes very much so.
I don't know. It's so like Fujiwara's career as it goes along, and Kento's too. I mean, these are two of the most hyped Dragon Gate prospects of all time that are obviously no longer with Dragon Gate. And I think there's a very easy way to play revisionist history and go, oh, well, you know, they got hyped up too much and they weren't this or they weren't that. And then you watch a match like this and you go, no, they were everything that I've been saying they are since very early on in their careers. And, you know, Dragon Gate's going to be okay. Still the number two promotion in Japan. They do quite well in some markets, but not having Kento and Fujiwara around, it hurts. You know, watching this match, which I went 4.25 on, I mean, it's worth everybody's time. And Mike, does Cubs Fan have it up on his drive? Is that where this match is?
Let me go and check. I caught it.
Take a look at that. But, you know, watching this match, it's awesome. Like, Fujiwara is incredible in this match. It's one of those where, you know, it's a lot of Kento charisma stuff, and then it's Fujiwara really wrestling. And I noticed this, you know, a little bit later in his run in Mexico. You know, when he first got there, which was last June, he was wrestling in front of crowds with noise for the first time, and he was doing a lot of character work, and he was really engaging with the crowd, and it blew me away because I was like, God, he's actually even better than I thought he was. And then as he started wrestling more and more in Mexico, he started getting really reckless, and it's interesting watching a Dragon Gate guy wrestle in a sort of controlled chaos sort of way, because, you know, Dragon Gate's a high-flying promotion, they're a fast promotion, but it's not you know, it's guys doing elbow drops, really, and tope suicidas, and then dives onto giant piles. And Fujiwara is out here doing shooting star presses to the floor and these crazy dives inside the ring and these lucha rings that I don't trust at all. And it's really interesting. I think him making a conscious decision to wrestle without the conformity that Dragon Gate provides. And it's impressive, man. I mean, these guys, I don't know what's next for them. You know, everything I know about the situation, a lot of which has been reported, some of which hasn't, I don't think Japan is in the cards anytime soon, but I really hope they can find steady work in North America. These guys are too talented to just kind of fuck around and see where the wind blows them. Any promotion that has access to them is making an objectively bad decision to not use and protect and help flourish them in their own promotion.
Yeah, and it's something where the spot from the match that really sticks out with me is there was on the floor during the brawl, I believe it was Prometo who sets up a chair and runs, jumps clear over it and does a almost like a corner seated drop kick to Kento in this match. And it's so different, and it's showing like, wow, the abilities of these guys at this point is otherworldly, I would say. Like everything that they were is still there.
They're so good. It's so upsetting.
In some ways, it feels like the restrictor plate is off for better and for worse with them now.
Yeah. Oh my God. I mean, completely. That's a very good way of saying what I was trying to say.
And I don't necessarily know long term, like as you're saying, like it does not. I've not heard anything in the last 6 weeks since we are really the SB Taku stuff really came to a forefront. Nothing has really kind of changed, I would say, out of it. It is something where I look at these two guys and as great as this match was, I was 4.25 as well. And it is something that really kind of comes off more as like an experience than it does like a not even necessarily high level match, but it is a high level match. But it just between how it's worked and the crowd and all of that, it comes off more like an experience that I wonder, like, just because of the situation and kind of their independence with it, is this going to be more the kind of thing we'll see out of them? Just because I think that these are the kind of matches that I think for better or for worse, and I think mostly for the better, these are the kind of stuff that gets spread around and gets them more bookings.
Yeah. I mean, the AAA situation is very interesting. As we talked about before anybody else, Conan saw footage of these guys when they first went over to Mexico, and he was not into them. Conan did not get it, did not want to use them, and they slowly started appearing on the undercards of these AAA shows. And then Conan basically learned what Dragon Gate was, and that the guys that work there are A, super talented, and B, trained in the lucha style, which again, he had no awareness of. And so he's been vocal supporters on his podcast of these guys, but they're still not on AAA shows. And Cubs Fan talked about this and put it in a way that was more eloquent than what I was trying to hint at, which was like, no, you know, people in Mexico don't care about these guys, whether it's fans or promoters. It's not like they're these hype blue chip prospects that, you know, CMLL and AAA are going to have a bidding war over. You know, even Big Lucha, the mess that's going on there, it's not like they're using Kento and Fujiwara on a full-time basis either. They worked one Big Lucha show as a one-off, and that was it. So they're in this predicament where they're in a land of people that don't care about them, but they're talented enough to work anywhere. And I don't know how they're going to navigate that. It is frustrating. You know, the story is so bizarre in terms of their relationship with Dragon Gate. And, you know, the thing that I think changed from the first time you and I heard about the story to when we ended up breaking it was when we first heard about it, it seemed like this hard split. You know, they're gone, they're exiled. And as we got more information, and Jay confirmed this when we talked to him in May, was It was, or I guess it was July rather, it was the Kobe World Preview, was it's sort of one of those, you know, hey, let's break up, but we can still be friends. And even if you never take that person up on the friends offer, they're going along adjacent right now. They're going along adjacent paths. And is that a fair way, I think, of describing the situation?
Yes, because if it was a path that was clearly divergent, we know where they would have showed up. And it would have been very clear.
I saw some people allude to that in the Discord. I want to be clear. I'm not I don't think that's like this outlandish, like, no, you idiot, you're wrong. I don't think that's it. You know, I don't think anywhere in Japan is the play for them for quite a while. You know, Kento comes from money. Kento has sponsors in Mexico that are, you know, paying their bills. And we'll see what happens there. But look, if you watch them in Dragon Gate and expected them to be the future, and now you feel foolish just because of the way things have played out, watch this Riot Lucha tag and you'll go, oh, nope, they're as good as I thought they were. It was, again, it was as exhilarating as it was depressing.
Yeah, that's kind of like my takeaway from it as well. It was like, God, these guys are crazy talented. And it's something like, especially like for me also, like I'm trying to make more of a concerted effort of it. When I lived in South Carolina, you would have to really travel or you had to hit the road for wrestling shows that were at least kind of worth it for me, or stuff that I'd be like, oh, I'm going to go drive to a show and do this. There's a lot of it in Texas that I'm trying to take advantage of. And it's something where, you know, I saw a post that SB did about US visa that I'm making this very, very, very clear. It was a machine translation of mentioning a US visa that immediately put the thought in my head of like, oh, I'm in Texas now. That can really happen. That I'm hoping that maybe some booker catches them doing this kind of match, and maybe the situation is that they can start working like this. I don't know if that's the case, but that's what I would hope coming out of that, really.
Did I tell you that I tried to buy a t-shirt from them and they left me on red?
Fucking teens, man.
I know. They've got their personal Instagram accounts, and then they have like a tag team Instagram account where they're selling t-shirts. And I DM'd them. I was like, well, you know, if you guys do international shipping, I want one. That's a cool looking shirt. And we had a few messages back and forth. And then right before I was like ready to send them money. And that was a week ago. They have not gotten back to me. And I'm bummed out because it's a cool looking shirt.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's sick as hell.
And they need the money. So it's not a good business plan to not respond to me.
And that's when I could say, well, given everything, of course, Case, of course. Like, are you surprised?
No, I'm not. Yeah. But that is the Riot Lucha tag. Did we confirm? Is that on the Cubs Google Drive? Do you know where people can watch that?
I think it is. I don't know if Riot Lucha took it off Facebook, but I don't know if it is still publicly available.
Let me do a quick dive real quick to see if it's there, because I'm curious. I want people to watch this match if they haven't seen it. I think the link got passed around in the Voices of Wrestling Discord, so take a look there. But as I look here, I don't see it there. Maybe it's not on the Cubs drive. But look around. I mean, if you really need it, you know, I don't know, shoot me a DM. I'm sure I can help you out. So that is that. And those guys are still really good.
Yep. And I think, unless you have anything else, Case, I think that's going to do it for us as well.
That is it. Dangerous Gate on Sunday. I will have a written review of it over at voiceswrestling.com, hopefully the day after that Monday morning. Obviously, podcast next Tuesday. I don't know if there is a written preview going up on voiceswrestling.com or not. If that happens, it'll either be Mike or John Hernandez. I'm looking forward to the show. You know, please send us your thoughts, your predictions, your feelings on the show. Open the Voice Gate channel on the Voices of Wrestling Discord. I'm looking forward to it.
Me too. Case, before we go, just load up Twitter on the first time. And what do I see but Gekio Kuchi-kun, President Nakamura getting photos with Akira Maeda.
My man, Maeda versus Stalker needs to happen.
we've just put that out on in the universe, and I think that's what we leave this on. You could follow us on Twitter.
Well, can I say one thing real quick? Just because it's a thought that I have to get out now. It'll never make sense after the fact. Thank God Shima is not with Dragon anymore, because if he was and they booked Maeda, Shima would pay him extra money to redo the Choshu shoot kick spot with Stalker, and it would be fucked up and it would be mean. And I don't think we live in that reality anymore. So thank God.
Yeah, no, we are living in a better reality, because I don't want to see that either.
Yeah.
He's the 69th greatest wrestler of all time, Case. We could save him from that indignity. I mean, gosh, please.
Very much so.
But that's going to do it. We'll be back with you next week talking about Dangerous Gate 2023. You can follow us on Twitter at Open Voice Gate. Case is _in your case. And I'm at Fujiheya. Thanks for listening to Open Voice Gate. We'll be back with you next week. Take care, everyone.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, Voices of Wrestling listener. Dave Ryan here. Have you ever wondered to yourself, how many hidden gems are hidden away inside the last years of World Championship Wrestling? Have you ever asked yourself how many tenuous gags can be made about the name Mike Enos? And have you ever thought about what it sounds like for two Irishmen to interpret a very chaotic company through its B-show? The answers to all this and more are just a click away. Check out Days of Thunder every second Thursday on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network.